Shout out to our sponsors, Clearwater Distilling. Utah County's only distillery is turning heads and quickly making a name for themselves. From whiskey to vodka, their unique innovation transforms the norm with incredible products like the Rene Armagnac, which is an aged French Armagnac with an American rye whiskey twist. Literally one of our favorite showcasers. Or their Scandalous, which is not like Fireball. It's an actual whiskey with quality cinnamon without any sugary taste. Also, Clearwater teams up to do a monthly cigar pairing where you come and get educated on how to properly smoke a cigar while pairing with Clearwater's lovely spirits. For more information, head to clearwaterdistilling.com, hit them up on all social media platforms, or just message us and we'll get you started on the right path. Open 7 days a week, even on holidays. Clearwater is a must. See you there. Until the next spirits, my friends. Shout out to our sponsors, Kings Peak Coffee Roasters. Located on 412 South, 7th West in Salt Lake, Kings Peak has a wonderful coffee shop and roastery with great atmosphere, delicious coffee, friendly baristas, and plenty of parking. Offering to help anyone willing to learn coffee, Kings Peak is the place to go. Kings Peak is ethically and sustainably sourced, believing that everyone in the coffee supply chain should be properly supported through fair compensation and powered by real human-to-human relationships. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 2, and Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 2, you will feel loved the moment you walk through their doors. For any questions or inquiries, or wholesale, visit them at kingspeakcoffee.com or just head on over. Good chance you'll see us there. Until the next coffee, my friends. You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, family, we are in the heart of Lehigh Strap Tank, and I'm here with my good, dear friend, the one and only Spence.
Hello.
What's up, Big Spence? How you doing, Big Daddy?
I'm so good, man. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm blessed and honored that you're here because I think you're my most rested guest of all time.
Okay. Well, yes, I am. I have definitely slept all day in preparation for this.
So we're recording around 4 o'clock today, 4:30, and you were slept till 3:30 today.
And I definitely told you I'd be here at 4. It didn't happen.
It was like 4:10. It was like 4:10.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I forget that there is like rush hour traffic, and I hit it because I don't go south of like 2100 in the Utah Valley or in the Salt Lake Valley very often.
I get that.
And I had even thought about taking the train here, so I was very unprepared for
it. I won't get you smashed, I promise. But I appreciate you being, because you've been here multiple times at the Lehigh Strap Tank facility.
Yeah, a handful of times. It's generally one of those like, I'm coming up from camping, I'm in the swell or over by Moab or somewhere, and you hit that point of the mountain traffic and you're like, shit, dude, I need a beer.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get a burger. I'm going to get a beer. And Strap Tank's right there.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
We got both.
You can double fist so, here. Deliciously so.
Double fist the beer and the beer. And the burger.
I'm double fisting right now.
So what are we drinking right now, by the way?
We are drinking a dark pilsner. I couldn't remember if it was a Czech or a German or something, but that's not
I think we're calling it a German. People, I can't remember what people make fun of me because technically it's a very hopped up Schwarz beer, but a Schwarz beer is not that hopped up. So basically it's our Italian Pilsner, so like a German Pilsner,
yeah,
really fucking hopped up. And then we just threw some, a little bit of black malt from Proximity, which gives it a touch roastiness to me.
It's a delicious beer. Thank highly you. Recommend it.
And I know one of your favorite beers happens to be a Schwarz beer. So.
I know there's a can of it sitting down here.
I know. It's tempting me. I don't want to open it because it's just tempting me. Just save that, dude.
No, that's for us.
Oh,
that's
shit.
For us. This is a special occasion, dude.
Stop. Thank you. But I poured you something I want to showcase to you.
This is the New Zealand Saison.
New Zealand Saison.
Eye of Saison.
Eye of Saison. Yes.
Which we were just discussing before you hit record.
Because we were talking about New Zealand hops have cool, weird, funky names. And then we're talking about, what should we name the beer? I'm like, something with fucking Lord of the Rings? Like, it's got to be. I was doing like Frodo Saison or like Bilbo Sagan's. Like
I was trying to think of something cool, Samwell, like a Saison.
Gamgee.
But right? Gamgee is not a very attractive word if you don't understand.
Saison, you fools, was my other name.
Oh, that's a good one.
Shot down.
To be honest, most people wouldn't even get this reference, but you named it the Eye of Saison. You could have done the Mouth of Saison, but that's only in the extended cut.
Ooh.
And even them barely touched upon in the books. So,
man, I was doing everything. I was reaching, man. I was so reaching.
You know what? Names are names.
You know,
the only people that care are the people on Untappd when they're trying to find that beer, you know. 90% of the time I have people order by numbers. I'll take the number 8. I'll take the number 9.
Oh, that's frustrating because it's you gotta look at the board and be like, oh, memorize
it. Well, and ours they're not static.
Yeah.
So they move. So they'll be the number 8, and I'm like, okay, the number 8 last week was.
That's a Big Mac with fries, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Let's try it, dude.
8 chicken tenders.
Salud, prost.
Salud. Skål. Ooh, that's delicious.
Do you like Saisons?
I don't. It's not something I go to, but you had your recommendation, and it's light. You got almost like apricot or like, it's very soft. It takes a minute. You get like big fruit, like stone fruit flavors up front, and then it's just like lemongrass background.
Ah, yeah.
It's like big up front, and on the back, it's all like, you know, let's chill out, you know.
Look at that glass, too. That's dirty glass, just sitting there lacing it up.
I'm not gonna judge any.
It's not dirty, by the way. It's lacing. This is really sexy. It's what a brewer wants to see, a beer maker, right here. All that protein just sitting there, just chilling. Mm.
If you do not have lacing on your glass, it is
frowned
upon.
It's
not standard.
You know? I like that because you have.
Because then we'll covered in soap and shit.
Did you know this before you were a beer tender?
No, I didn't. Because
you're well educated.
I listen when people talk, especially the people that sign my paycheck.
Yeah. You should. So I think we should dive into the origin story of Spence. Spence, let's go. Where are you from, dude? I want to know where you come from.
Holiday, Utah. Born and raised.
Yeah. You're a Utah boy.
Yeah.
The question that everyone wants to know is, were you of the predominant faith here in Utah?
Yeah, I have tattoos of it.
Oh, really?
I have the Liahana.
Did you?
And the Sword of Laban. Like, in my mind, those are the two artifacts that, mean the most other than the golden plates, which I know could bring up a lot of controversy if I went into my opinions of them. But, yeah, I grew up... of the Latter-day Saint faith.
Mm-hmm.
My parents still are involved. And they are definitely listening. My mom was just texting me like, did you start the podcast yet? So I won't put my judgments on those.
Shout out, Mom. What's up?
Beth, I love you. my mom and my dad I love so much.
So I have this feeling that they support you no matter what. Are they those kind of parents?
They are, yeah.
See, that's really cool. And that's, in my opinion, this is a very biased opinion, is it's hard to find when it comes to that Utah bubble.
A little bit. I think it's different now. Definitely there's, I think, far more transplants than there ever has been. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm not going to get into that argument. But there are a lot more people at where I work at TF that are of a Utah background or some way related to LDS faith.
Sure.
And we have our own little like clique, and it's fun to like be that, because it being in Utah growing up in the 90s, anytime you go somewhere, somebody would be like, are you Mormon? And now nobody gives a shit.
Who cares?
Yeah. Nobody cares.
Like, I feel like even Mormons don't care if you're Mormon or not. It's like, are you going to be an asshole or not? Can we talk?
Are you good people is good people. It doesn't matter what faith you believe in.
I don't care who you are.
Right?
I don't care what your color of skin, how much hair you have, don't hair. I don't know what you wear or don't wear. Like, it doesn't matter, dude.
Yeah. Good people is good people.
Exactly. And I'll cook. Good people make good cooking, I feel like
people do make good cooking. You can tell when someone is an asshole when they invite you over and
they don't know how to cook.
They don't know how to cook.
They throw McDonald's on the on the floor.
I ate McDonald's last night, and it definitely is
no shame in
me.
But if I'm having you over, hey, I'm gonna cook for you.
If I'm inviting you over for a dinner date,
I ain't cooking no fast food.
There's at least 3 pans involved.
Oh,
a searing, probably a boiling, and then at some point an air fryer or an oven. I like pasta.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
You like kind of sear the vegetables, ooh, and then you're boiling everything else, and then you put it all in one big pot together. See? Three
when
pots.
You invite the missus and I over, I'll come over. Let's go.
You can, yeah, I'll cook you pasta any day of the week.
Oh, man.
I'm not chef,
me.
But like.
Come on now.
I got like 5 dishes I love. Shakshuka is one of them, which takes all day for me.
Ooh. Tell people what shakshuka is.
Shakshuka is a dish that is poached eggs and tomato sauce. That's all it is, but I love it.
Do you throw pasta in it sometimes?
Or rice? I usually do rice or like, I don't use quinoa a lot. I'm like literally opposed to quinoa, but,
you do not like quinoa.
I don't like quinoa.
Why? I'm curious.
It's a whole thing, man. It's
now I gotta know. Now I have to know. Spence, tell me why you don't like quinoa. Is it because it starts with a Q?
No, I love I love Q things. let me think of a few others. Quality. No, it's one of those, like, it's a cash crop that is definitely hurting people in South America.
Gotcha. Okay.
I didn't eat beef for a very long part of my life just because a lot of the Amazon is deforested for, and not like I matter. Like, I am not this big shining beacon of political light, but it's good to have something you stand for.
Sure.
Right. So I can get rice, which is grown everywhere, or I can get quinoa that's either grown on like the slopes of the Sierra Nevada, so it's going to be crazy California tax, or it's going to be grown in, you know, South America where people are put to unnecessary work for it. You know?
Very intuitive of you. You're an intuitive eater, I feel like. That's you're putting thought into what's going into your body.
I try to care about. It's not even thought about my body. I try to be better about the people in the world that I may never meet, and I would hate for my daily actions to fuck them over.
Yeah, because we live in this nice first world, chill, bougie society. We're pretty lucky, you and I.
I think so. You know.
Yeah, we're not sitting there harvesting for our food. We can go to McDonald's and pick it up.
I mean, I try and volunteer at gardens from time to time.
Time to time, but not every day. Yeah.
It's not my job.
I feel like we have it pretty good here in these states.
I work with other crops.
I like that. Yeah. So then Utah holiday. What point did you think, have you ever lived outside of Utah?
For brief stints, I spent 4 summers in Alaska.
Alaska? Why Alaska?
Not Utah.
Just for fun? But that's like...
I talked about going a few times. My parents asked, they were like, hey, you graduated high school. Let's take you on a graduation trip. So I chose a cruise through the Alaskan like waters.
And what time of year is this, if you will?
Well, that cruise was summer. I worked at Brooks Lodge in Katmai, Alaska.
Shout out Brooks Lodge. That's cool.
It's still there.
Shut the hell up.
One of the oldest fishing lodges in Alaska. It's ancient. I have waxed that floor so many times in that goddamn lodge.
For a punishment or for a...
It was my job, man. I work 16 hours a day starting at, 5 a.m. And you would sweep and mop the floor. And then you would walk out and the first float planes would be showing up. And you'd go catch them in thigh-high boots. And then just... take luggage to and from people's places.
So you're a porter. You just are moving luggage left and right.
Yeah.
How old were you?
This is in my 20s.
Okay.
So I left Hot Topic, which we discussed.
Off
the microphone. I worked at Hot Topic for 8.5-9 years, and then I put in a 2-month notice, and they didn't think I was being serious. And on the day it was done, I was just like, okay. And I got on the train, because at this time I didn't have a car. I was taking a train from Southtown Mall in, where is Southtown Mall? It's in Utah.
It's in
Southern Salt Lake Valley. It's not Draper. Is it Draper? No.
I have no idea. We need to Google
Sandy.
This.
Sandy.
Gotcha.
Sandy, Utah.
That's north of me, homie.
Yeah. It's all north of you. The United States is north of you. And I called my partner at the time, and we had been discussing moving out of state. And she's like, yeah, I'm grabbing a beer. And I was like, cool, I'll meet you there, because now I'm unemployed. And hung up with her and had another call, and it was somebody else. And they're like, hey, an old friend of mine and coworker. And she was like, hey, I got a job at this lodge in Alaska, and we're down a cook. You want to come up? Fuck yeah. So I get off.
Didn't skip a beat. Didn't skip a beat.
Well, and they also didn't have reception. They're like, we got reception for an hour, because the lodge didn't have connection to the outside world. They were actually in a town that's an hour.
Was this COVID times? What's going on?
No, man. This lodge is in the middle of nowhere, and there's no internet. There's no phone. So they had taken a plane back, because I guess they were hard on for people to get to come up and get jobs. And they're like, hey, we're going to fly a couple people into town. Town was called King Salmon. And, you know, kind of call around and text people and see if we can get some of these people to come up mid-season. So I said, yeah. Partner at the time was not stoked. But, you know, I packed up all my bags and flew to Alaska. And I worked a half season there as a kitchen, like dishwasher, cook, kind of just whatever you need, guy. Cleaned the bar at the end of the night. For, you know, a shot of whiskey, whatever it took, because I loved it there. And then I went back 3 more years. So
shit.
Yeah.
So what'd you do in the off season?
The first time back, mm-hmm. I was trying to, like I said, my partner at the time, and I had talked about moving to Portland, Oregon, when everybody was moving to Portland, Oregon. So I went and stayed there for a couple of weeks after the first time. And then that didn't work out. And I came back, and I was a bar back at Gracie's Gastro Pub in downtown Salt Lake City.
Oh, shit.
So I did that. Oh, shit. I did that in the off time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Damn, there's some people that we're going to talk about this, because I feel like
we can, dude.
There's some people that you know that I might know, and there's some people that work here that have been. Oh, yeah. Anyway, continue. Yeah.
So that's what I would do in the off the time, bar back bartending. I didn't really bartend all that much. One of the greatest achievements I've, ever like found in my life is I completely skipped bartending. I went from bar backing to managing a bar. So,
so from Gracie's,
I bartended about 2 months at Gracie's.
Actually behind the bar.
Yeah. But I was bar backing for the most of it. And I bartended like it doesn't. I think people put bartending on a pedestal.
Kind of like brewers. I feel like brewers are on a pedestal too.
A little bit. I mean, I think you guys do a little bit more. There's a different way. There's different ways that I view it. So, like, I was at a sports bar, right? That's more or less what Gracie's is when you break down the elements. So, you're not making craft cocktails 85% of the time. But there are other bars that you are. We discussed Water Witch, but there are other Project Acme or Alibi. These are all these bars that I know downtown. So, like, sorry, I have to like realize that you have a national audience.
A bar?
You have a national audience that I can't just say localized names and be like, they will assume. There's like craft cocktails bars, and then there's bars that are beer and a shot, and like a vodka soda, gin and tonic.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people get those jobs, and that's more or less what I was doing at Gracie's. They do have craft cocktails, but, and I loved it there. moved on though. But yeah, people put, I think, certain bartenders on a pedestal. And sometimes it is just the difference between a barback and a manager is that the manager is the one that gets yelled at, but they're both, you know, scrubbing toilets and,
right,
you know, cleaning up glassware, whatever.
So how long did that last for?
I did that, four winters. And then...
And still doing the lodge, too.
And still doing the lodge.
Damn.
One winter, I took Gracie's off, and I worked at the DAB. It was the DABC at the time. They still controlled. They didn't service.
They don't control anymore.
Yeah. No, heaven they forbid. Just service. I worked at their warehouse. And I kind of loved it, and I kind of hated it.
How did you love it? In what aspect did you love it?
Your days were set. You show up, you pick pallets, you know, I had great benefits. I had also just broken my arm, so I needed the
doing
benefits.
What? I got to know the story. Spence, let's go. Let's go. Beth is listening. Let's go.
Beth knows the story, and she hates it. I fell off a cliff at my friend's wedding outside of Bryce Canyon.
Damn, son.
At about 2 a.m., we had, throughout the day, the bride's party went back to some hotels and got ready, and it was going to be a sunset marriage. And the groom's party drank a lot of Fireball, drank a lot of beers, shot some guns. You know, we're out in the woods, or not the woods. We're out in the desert. We're having fun. And so ceremony happens at sunset. Super cute. Very beautiful on these red rocks. And then we go back, celebrate, have some more drinks, right? As you do. Well, I guess not as you do in Utah, but. and then it's a full moon. So around 1:30, 2 a.m., we decide that we want to go on a hike because we're in this, it's Casto Canyon.
Right.
It's just southwest of Bryce. And we decided to go up, hiking. Me and the boys have been pushing dead trees off of cliffs all day. And I decide that at 2 a.m., it's a great idea to try and push this tree off of a cliff. So we do it, and I get a few guys, and then they're like, oh, man, this is such a stupid idea. And I'm like, yeah. And we do the final push, and the tree goes off. And I almost go off with it. And I go with it to, like, I can't visualize it for your listeners, but, like, I'm half-assed on the cliff. I barely miss falling off. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, wipe my brow. Super stoked I didn't go off the cliff. And then the root of the tree comes up behind me and takes me off with it. So,
oh, Spence, damn.
So I'm laying there on the ground, and the 30 feet, I think, is about what we estimated. I went back and looked at it, and maybe 22, but
30.
Yeah, it might be 10 feet, but
we're guys. It's 30 feet.
No, it was 20 to 30, but, broken wrist, a huge cut across my face, but no fracture, which is huge. Skull fracture was huge. A couple of ribs popped out of place, but you know, nothing binding to note, but I was laying there and I remember, someone just screaming, oh my God, he's dead. And, my partner, my girlfriend at the time, they eventually find me and I'm in like a pool of blood, and broken wrist, blah, blah, blah. They, you know, woofered me up and got me out of there and got me to the Panguitch emergency room.
Good old Ping Town.
I love Panguitch. They could use a brewery.
For sure. All 50 of them.
Yeah. And they, it's a tourist town.
Oh, stop.
Oh, come on.
It is. They have Zion there.
It's like it's 2 hours away. Hour and a half. And then you got to pay the entry fee. From that direction, you have to pay the entry fee.
So let's start one, Spence. Let's go.
All right, cool.
I'm down.
Find me money, I'll open it. Anyway, yeah, so I went to the ER. They stapled me up. I'm just saying there's a lot of tourist towns. There's a lot of small towns in Utah that I think would Thrive from a brewery. So here's like the thing. Social gathering point.
You say that, but I'm watching a brewery in Cedar City, Policy Kings.
Policy Kings.
Who I think throws down. I think...
Oh, they crush it.
I think they're doing really good things. I think they have really cool ideas. I think they have... For what they have a small system. They're upgrading slowly. They're producing some quality beverages out of their spot.
I know. It's been a minute since I've dropped my Policy Kings.
They have little to no support in their area.
Really?
Yes.
It's a bummer.
It is a bummer. And it's hard to watch. And they're getting frustrated. And you see the frustration, and it's real. But holy cow. So I would like to open one in, you know, Cedar City, Pingwich, Torrey, which Etta Place is doing great. And Water Pocket just went to Etta Place. So then now I have a cidery and a distillery in Torrey, Utah.
I didn't know Water Pocket moved back down there.
Well, there's two locations. Yeah, so they're still here in Salt Lake, but then they now have a location, a satellite location in Torrey, Utah.
As they should.
Oh, yeah, because Alan's killing it.
Alan loves that spot. I mean, most of his crazy madman brews are named after places around there.
Because, I mean, he respects it. He loves it, right? But you're looking at... Like Prodigy up in Logan. Now that's it makes more sense to me. But opening one in the outskirts of Idaho, I don't know. Opening one, Vernal. Do you hear about Vernal? Yeah, Vernal has a brewery. When's the last time you had a Vernal brew? It's been a minute, homie.
It has not been within this month, but I've definitely had one.
Sure. But even Moab. Moab, great destination location. I know Proper just went there, but Moab Brewing. Where you at?
Johnny's. They're Johnny's Hazy.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite brews.
There you go.
I pick up a 4-pack anytime I go camping or I'm going paddleboarding because it's just like a 5% easy crush and 16-ounce.
But it's just hard to like sit there and like, hey, I'm going to have my life, move my family, and we're going to sit and just crush it. Because Salt Lake, I feel like if I see another brewery open in Salt Lake, stop. We're saturated. Come a little bit south. Let's bring some sexiness to Utah County.
Well, and we got
go a little north.
Helper poured their first beer yesterday.
I tell you what, and Jaron knows what he's doing. But Helper's itching for one, and I like that because it's on the wave. You know what? I gotta stop for gas. I'm done. He's got a gas station right across the street. You fill up your car, fill up your body, and then fuck off.
There was talk last night about Griff and I going to Helper and then coming here afterward. Apparently that didn't happen.
You guys failed on that one.
Yeah, well,
hardcore.
Oh, very hard. So I'll probably swing down tomorrow.
You say this.
I got
some back to me then.
I will.
You're on the way home. No excuse.
Well, that was the plan.
Fucking Griff. Get out of here, Griff. Let's go.
That's not Griff's fault. That's my fault. I slept way too late.
But I still
made it.
I wish there's a brewery technically in Tooele, right?
Yes. And it has been a minute since I've been there, but it's a massive building, too.
But where's the love? We don't know about it. That's the thing. It's like, it's all Salt Lake.
Yeah, Bonneville, right?
Bonneville, yeah. Correct. But it's all Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Saturated, which I love. Well, it's great. I love them all.
Salt Lake is just the most saturated part of Utah.
But can we, how do we, here's a question for you, Spence. How do we diversify the saturation from Salt Lake? How do we
get people to move out? I mean, that's going to happen naturally. I mean, look at Saratoga Springs, which is just outside that window. That didn't used to exist. Yeah, that didn't used to exist at all. If they had a brewery there, I mean, it would obviously compete with you.
I think it would
crush.
But I think it would destroy.
Because, yeah.
Because people have to drive down Pioneer or down Redwood just to go places.
Yeah, I mean, you're a great spot here.
Sure.
We're at Strap Tank Lehigh. For context, we haven't said that already. But, it's on the other side of the freeway. You have to pass the exit or pass the entry.
Right.
You know, it's as stupid as it is. Americans at least only think about what is convenient, myself included. I mean,
we're all guilty of it.
Yeah. But, you could travel for good things,
but even look at Park City, Park City's got, you can travel a little bit outside of Park City. You got Heber Valley, you got Offset, which is in Park City. And you got Wasatch, Park City, Maine.
Oh, yeah,
but just not what you think they blow up more.
They
maybe
Park City Brewing back apparently.
Oh, and Parks. Excuse me. Yeah, Troy's kicking ass over there. I apologize, but I feel like they need more, but at the same time they don't. People, I feel like it's weird because right now we're in this weird time where beer drinkers like beer, But the kiddos like those seltzers, non-alcoholic, non-beer flavored beers.
Well, in the state even made it harder for brewers to make seltzers just recently.
How so, Spence? Bring us up to speed.
So I have a friend that's a rep for seltzers, and it has to be, I can't remember, but if it's not a malt-based beverage, it cannot be sold by anyone but the DABS. So a lot of these other ones that are not grain-based seltzers, so they can be gluten-free, I can't remember the verbiage, but they are essentially a liquor or a
malt liquor.
A malt liquor, mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a big thing. My friend was a rep for somebody out of Colorado, and she was telling me about it because she almost lost her job. But
that's ridiculous for a law change.
Yeah, a law change.
Yeah,
a law change about how just the verbiage used,
of how you say things. Yeah,
yeah.
Or so verbiage
now,
in general.
Yeah. So now you see 5% seltzers sold out of DABS stores.
Can't do that.
Which is silly.
It's ridiculous. Silly. Yeah.
It should be at a grocery store.
But I love how. Have you had Grid City's seltzers lately?
Yes. I can't remember exactly which ones I tried. I took a few camping. The Aperitivo was top-notch. I mean, the Aperol Spritz idea was very smart. But
that one knocks me on my ass, homie. Like they all do.
11.5%
Holy
or something.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's killer.
But I remember when they entered their seltzers into the Idaho Beer Fest. And because of them... Idaho Beer Fest has now changed categories in the seltzer category because of them.
Good.
This year, specifically a rosé seltzer because of Grid City. Because that rosé seltzer slaps.
So there's a specific rosé seltzer category.
Yes, yes.
How many people are going to submit to that?
I mean, I know one.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a subcategory. Fascinating, huh?
I think Moab. Oh, no, they have a rosé beer, like a rosé sour.
See, the thing, I wish, I'm going to call them out. This is me. And this is probably not good for me, but I'm going to do it. Moab needs to step it up. Vernon needs to step it up. And Bonneville. Because if you're going to be a brewer, be part of the family and get known.
Are you a river rafting man?
Not as big as like Tommy or Jackie King, right?
Yeah,
but like, yeah. I love me get dangerous, and I have some great stories with that, but I'm not doing it every summer. That's not what gets me going, right?
I also think that these, we'll call them small town breweries, not necessarily so, because Moab is a huge distributor, but I don't think they're for us. They're for the local people. I mean, Vernal is, when I've gone into it a handful of times, it is busy. It's not busy as a brewery. It's busy as a restaurant. It's busy as a visiting, like a social gathering.
You're right. But I want to see them.
I would love to see Zion Brewing do more things outside of their tap house. Yeah.
And I haven't met a single one. I rarely see them at any beer events.
They're busy.
Okay, but like the thing is, I want to see them, right? Like, I guess maybe selfish.
They're serving their community, you know?
And that's
they're
great.
Serving, I mean, what is Zion National Park is in the top three most visited parks in the United States.
And that's beautiful. But get your ass up here or bring us down there or, you know, set it up. So
all right.
I feel like Strap Tank, TF, Squatters, Wasatch, I keep going on the list, right? Level Crossing, let's just keep going. Should be all of Utah. It should be as far as Vernal, should be as far as the edge of almost Mesquite, and what's the other one that everyone goes to get?
Wendover,
and then south. You know, everyone should be. I want Paul King beers here. I want St. George beers here. I want Zion.
Distributing's a bitch, man. It's hard to do. To get
how do we
cans.
Fix that?
I don't know. There's got to be a better way. I would love to see the state. Do like a better maybe like stipend for small businesses that need to distribute, right? Because a lot of small businesses, they can get like it's your first business or whatever, they can get something from the state. And I, you know, I'm not a very socialist person, but I do think that if we're going to put we put millions of dollars of funding into fixing our roads, we should do something for businesses that use those roads or make it more feasible for people to can beers instead of spending $500,000 for a canning.
So appreciate
machine.
Local craft.
Yeah,
absolutely. I love local. Obviously, this is part of the reason why this podcast exists is to showcase that localness of what we're doing. And that's why for me, and I ask, liquor lawyer, I ask distillers, beer makers, when it comes to DABS, why is there not a section in the liquor store? Since you make us go to the liquor stores, not at Costco or Smith's, in Arizona, I can go to Target and get my wine there. I can get my high percent beer there. But you're going to make me go to a location.
I mean, it's
all
to
get
money,
my beer
dude.
And wine.
Yeah.
But why not, at least to the side, showcase Utah only? We got Zion there. We got fucking Vernal there. We got Tori Utah at a place right there. We got fucking Logan. You name it, we have it because it's only Utah. Why is that so hard to swallow?
It's money, man.
That's the word that comes out of my mouth, and I might get shot down for this, but it's evil.
A little bit. I'm not a devil's advocate. Every opinion you
go for it. Go for it. Go for it.
You're
in my house.
I'm going to show up to your house and argue with you.
Why is that a thing? Why is that?
I don't think
thing?
It's evil. I think it's misguided, if anything.
How so?
Well, so we have the head of the DABS is non-LDS for the first time in a very long time.
So now you're bringing religion into it?
No.
Okay.
Yes. I'm taking religion out of it.
Okay.
But you see fridges coming up in new DABS.
That's a step up.
We're going the right ways. So I have to deal with ordering liquor. They're more willing to ship what I want back to a location that's easy for me. That used to not be a thing.
Step in the right direction.
Yeah, they just kind of blindly throw it wherever and hope it sells. And if it doesn't, they throw it away when it goes bad, which is just a waste of taxpayer monies. I don't think it's evil. I think it's just poorly managed. And that's the reason I didn't stay at the DABS warehouse. I think it's in an incredibly well-oiled machine, but I think the reasons that they do things are not in the right... it's not for the blue-collar workers.
So how do we educate those individuals that are in positions where they don't consume the product which they control?
You should invite the lieutenant governor for an interview and have a conversation.
If they would respond back to my
emails. Because that's the head of the DABC.
If they would respond back to my emails.
I'm sure you have.
It'd be awesome, right? Because that's the thing is, I don't care. I just want to know why. And I would like to put beer makers, cider makers, distillers, candle makers, anything that's local craft, and be like, hey guys, this is us. This is your people. Why can't you support us? Why don't you support us more?
Can I say a hot take?
Go for it.
I think the DABS or the DABC, however you know it, is a very socialist form of governing how alcohol is distributed, because it could be privatized. It is everywhere else, right? You go down to a 7-Eleven or wherever to get liquor. But you want taxes to pay for how spirits are distributed, and you want to do it on people who don't even drink Stein. I think it's very not red state of Utah, and it's silly. It's silly.
But saying that to the individuals' faces... There's got to be a better way. So when knowledge increases, behavior changes. Or education increases, the behavior should change.
Oh, for sure. I mean...
So how do we educate those who don't consume? So Beth, if you're listening, how do we...
She doesn't want it to be spread anymore.
How do we... It's not... Coffee... We have Starbucks in every corner, just like a church. Now, I don't want a church of any faith on every single corner. Yeah. I think there should be one at each gym. There should be, in my mind, I see that it should be a huge church of your faith or religion in every city. Great. Call it good.
Y'all meet up.
On every corner, though?
Super chapels.
Let's go. I don't understand this. I don't need a liquor store on every corner. I don't, as a beer drinker, I don't need that.
Oh, and also the big thing about having churches everywhere is that's a lot of property tax that's not being gained. and they're only used 9 hours a week. Can you think, like...
How dare you? Church basketball lasts at least 2 hours out of those. It's 11 hours.
Okay, that's fair. I'll go maybe 20 hours. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, there's a lot of sports, and they do meet outside of Sundays.
What's that Monday night thing? Yeah, they got Monday night stuff, right?
I don't. It's changed Monday since I was in it 16 football? Years ago. And no. Then you used to meet 3 hours every Sunday.
Sure, but
and now it's two, apparently.
Do you need a a brewery on every corner?
I don't need a brewery on every corner. I would take a tap room on every corner.
Okay, okay.
And Utah blocks are big. So that's not not even everywhere.
And we do have the Grid City. Shout out Utah. I love Super the easy. Grid. The Grid is like the best. Like, I go to another state and I'm like, the fuck? Strawberry Street is next to...
I wouldn't have survived what before is going on? Like Google Maps.
No. I remember MapQuest.
Oh, I remember printing out
MapQuest.
Yeah. Oh,
like, it had to follow the MapQuest that you printed out. Man.
A year ago for my birthday. I went camping with people, and I like printed out MapQuest instructions at the beginning of the campsite.
I love that, Spence. I love that for you.
No one ever saw them. It was work wasted, but you know.
Nonetheless,
I used a MapQuest, and it was a whole nostalgia.
But I feel like you and I could sit here and argue about what can happen, what should happen. But you know what? It's not going discussion. I like that. Thank you. But the thing about it is, I just don't know. Like I want an answer, but also I also want it to be able to agree or disagree. I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that.
If it's a rational train of thought, I'm all about it. I mean, I'm try to value rationality as much as I can. We all have emotions, but if you can have a rational reason why the state distributes the way it does, okay. And if it could also like help smaller players, because a lot of the beer that's in DABS stores are not local. I mean, that's not something I don't want stuff from outside,
sure.
But there are so many other places that are struggling locally that I would love to build up, you know?
Yeah. So how do we do that? I don't need more Bacardi. I don't need more New Holland. I don't need more Sierra Nevada. I can pick that up if I want it, but like I would like to support, like the one you sent, the Shred Monk that you brought me today. They come out of nowhere.
Get They're great.
They get a bronze for their fucking first beer ever, a German Pilsner.
Yeah.
In 2022.
Yeah.
At a Bozeman, Montana. Give me that kind of shit.
I would love that. I would love to see that in stores. I would love to see, you know, if Zion I guess it also comes down to their licensing. I'm not entirely sure about what it is to be licensed as a brew on the brewer side about making a above 5% beer. Like you can make it, but if you don't have a way to distribute it, then it's, you know, just for the brewers.
Once we get off here, I'll talk to you about that, 'cause that's another can of worms.
Yeah, but that's I bet thing. It. I know that is, but as on the production side, I know what it is like on the front of house, because I deal with it day in and day out. I don't know. I have no solutions because it's so far broken. You can't start it from scratch at this point, though. You know.
So how do you go about something that's so broken? Do you, or are you just like, it's not. Let it fix itself.
I don't think it will fix itself. I think it has made movements to do so. It's just there's too many rules. It's you're building a log cabin out of sticks. You know.
Too many rules.
Too many rules.
So we got to not change the rules, but understand the rules.
I think we could definitely change the rules if all of a sudden. I can see this also being a different like problem. But if all of a sudden it was not throttled 5% on tap, right? You could do. I mean, you could be making a 13% Irish red ale, imperial, whatever, right? And then instead of having to have it in a sealed can where you're serving 16 ounces and then that person can only have that one drink, you can give them a 4 ounce pour of it or correct. Whatever.
I control the amount they get.
Yeah.
Or you control 3 ounces, 4 ounces, whatever.
I think that's a smarter move, but then you'll also see like coming into grocery stores if that same rule, because for some reason the 5% in retail is also like the 5% on draft, you can see that all of a sudden you only get beers from outside of town that people, whoever the distributor decided to choose.
Right.
I mean, I don't know, man.
It's fascinating.
It's fascinating. It's just, there's a lot of levels.
There really is.
A lot of levels.
Well, Spence, I say on that note, let's take a quick break. Come back because I have a bunch of questions I want to bombard you with.
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir.
Sound good?
Yes, sir.
Shout out to our sponsor, Solstice Malt. Solstice Malt is Utah's only craft malt house producing premium malt from local barley, oat, rye, and wheat. From farm to bag, Solstice Malt has a loving hand in each step of the way. Floor malted, flaked, raw, roasted, smoked, and everything in between, Solstice Malt does it all with pristine technique. Supplied and trusted by breweries, distillers, and all brew supply stores in Utah, we highly recommend using grain from Solstice Malt. For any inquiries or any questions, reach out to Solstice Malt on all platforms or shoot them an email at solsticemalt@gmail.com. Remember, without malt, there is no beer. Until next malt, my friends. Outlaw Distillery's Bourbon Barrel Aged Hot Sauce is back on the shelves. Also, head on over to meet the newest distiller in our Outlaw family, Connor Kelly. With experience from places like High West, Connor helps turn up Outlaw's premium game. Head on over to Outlaw Distillery located at 552nd West, 8360 South, Midvale, Utah for a tour and tasting. Their staff is well-trained and leads with full passion. With homegrown grain to glass, Outlaw Distillery carries some of our favorite weekday sippers, like vanilla bean rum, spiced rum, honey bourbon, and that delicious bourbon whiskey. Trust us when we say it should be outlawed. It's so good. Yeah. Until the next spirits, my friends. All right, family, we're back. Spence, are you ready for these questions?
Ask away.
Beth, are you ready for these questions?
Yes, she is.
All right. You started at Gracie's.
Yes.
As a bar back.
Yes.
And then you said you went into beer tending. Let's talk about this jump real quick. What happened in that jump?
I was bar backing at Gracie's. I would do a couple of bartender shifts, not much. And then when I came back from Alaska, the final time, I had a couple bucks in my pocket and no rush. So, wasn't really looking for a job. And then, somebody had told me about TF opening. I believe it was probably my partner at the time. We were driving past. There was a sign that said, like, now hiring on the front. So I sent in an email. Sat down. They were doing, like, rotational group. So, like, a bunch of us would show up, fill out an application, hand them in. And it was Britt Templin and Brittany Watts that were doing the interview.
Oh, shit.
And I fill out my application, put it down on the table. They're interviewing someone else. I actually know exactly who they're interviewing. But and I get bored. This is a story from my perspective. Maybe it's different. But I get bored and I walk into the brew house and it's Jaron Anderson and Kevin Templin making a beer. And I start talking to them about it. And then the Berts, as we call them, call me over, have an interview with them. And they are more or less like, he's all right. I don't have bartending experience. I think my resume said I might have had a little bit more than I did. hard to say. But and then Kevin walks over and he's like, hey, you should probably hire this guy. And they're like, why? And he's like, it's the only guy that came and talked to me about beer and all the people that have come in. So I started working there. And then they're like, hey, when can you start? And I said, immediately, got nothing going on. Oh, except I'm leaving town for a month and 2 weeks. And they're like, well, that's our grand opening. And I was like, good luck, you know? I was like, yeah.
Holy shit, man.
And then, so I did the soft opening, and then we did a couple of, like, day shifts with them, and then they had the grand opening, and my partner at the time and I went up to this jam band festival in Wisconsin and came back, and I worked a couple more shifts, and Miss Watts was like, so you want to be a manager? Sure. So worked there for 4 weeks, only actually worked for two of them and got the job. But, you know, the rest is history. Like, yeah. I love my staff so much. They are all my best friends. It's very rarely that I'm hanging out with someone not from Templin family. They're all sending me texts and pictures right now, like, don't mess up the interview. they're great people, and I love them so much. And it is hardly ever feel like I am managing them and that I'm just bartending with them.
Yeah.
Because that's my job. Like, is your job as a manager at any bar or anywhere you work where you just fill in the gaps? You make sure, you know, everyone's safe. You make sure everyone's happy. And then you, you know, run beers or right. clean toilets or, you right. know, change the trash. You make it work.
Yeah.
So the rest of them can do their job.
So what's it like to be, would you rather be called a bartender or a beer tender? I know it's like kind of a thing nowadays. You sling more beers. But you can and do make cocktails on the side.
I think I'm not a huge fan of the word beer tender, but I know I'm not a bartender. I'm just the guy. I'm just there to pour you a beer.
I'm just the guy.
I mean, a lot of bartending or beer tending is you hang out with your regulars or you hang out with new people coming right. in. It's a conversation. I mean, people will be like, it's our first time in. And, you know, it seems to people that are not in the brewery industry, it seems silly. But when people come in, they're like, it's our first time. You're like, oh, well, shit, let me tell you about these are our staple beers. But these are not. And I want to let you know that, like, you know, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears go into making a beer, as right. you know. And you want to showcase what's important, like, you know. Did you just win an award on something? Let's, you know, give them a sample of that. Did it, you know, is this a fresh batch of something that, you know, we really experimented with? Let's try that. You want to sit down and you want to show people what is a good face of the company? What is a good face of all these, you know, we just have ale. So we call them the boys, but the brewers. But we want to show off what the boys are doing and, you know, or the crew or whoever, because the brewers work hard and they put a lot of thought into it. And we want to make them look good.
Holy shit. I feel like I had all these questions for you, Spence, and you kind of like answered them all in one go, because what you do and what the TF family does is what got me into brewing in the first place. Because as the first line of defense, I was the, because I'm one of the few that helped open the bar here at Strap Tank.
Yeah.
So I was opened the bar because, and then the brewers. I'm like, who are these gremlins downstairs making these weird beverages of different assortments? And I was the one that was supposed to convince or showcase these individuals downstairs making these, you know, these mad wizards making these brews, and you guys do that. So it's really fun to see how you guys incorporate into your scheme of things, which I feel like in Utah County is like pulling teeth.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
And it's as really someone cool that,
yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, it's great. Yeah. You do that.
As someone that ran a Hot Topic in Utah County, it's anything that is not the norm is hard. Yeah. It's hard.
Right. So when it comes to showcasing new beers that you guys put on, what's some, like, let's say you have a Smoked Hellas on tap, plus you have an award-winning killer beer, plus you have
I wish we had the Smoked Hellas.
The newest version of the Del Mar, plus you have the newest Berliner, plus you have blah, blah. Well, how do you have this assortment of different beers that you need to sling. How do you go about it? Talk to me. I'm a new person. I come to you, I'm like, well,
you've
hello, sir.
You've bartended.
So what should I get here at TF?
What do you want?
I like nothing hoppy and nothing that's going to fill me up.
Cool. Well, you know, I got a couple of light lagers, killer batch, fresh batch of, you know, the Hellas, fresh batch of the Keller. You want it sharper? You want it soft?
Soft all day.
Oh, Hellas. Absolutely. properly lagered, you know, ready to go, easy drinking. You'll be able to pound this, not be filled up, come back for something healthier.
But my wife wants something that's sweet, but not filling, and not too tart. Do you have anything that can...
Absolutely. It's called a Radler. It's the German shandy. A little bit of tart from the lemon soda, and it's nice and sweet, easy drinking, and you know what? It's going to be shy of 4%, so you know.
Could you sell or showcase a TF beer in front of any guest ever? Is that a challenge
for you? If they want to have a beer, yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, a lot of time people will be like, I don't want beer. And I'll be like, well, that's great. We have a liquor license. You want a margarita? Let's get you a margarita. Yeah.
Do you have ciders by chance?
We've won. Right now. We're working on probably playing around with a couple others.
What's the one cider you have?
It is rosé cider, Original Sin. Original Sin's rosé cider.
Oh, yeah. Not a bad choice.
No, it holds a place in Brett Templin's heart. I'm not entirely sure it's how or why, but it's a good, it's easy drinking, it's not crazy strong, and it fulfills that gluten-free option.
For those who come to you and want to be gluten free.
Yeah.
What's some challenges being a bartender at TF?
So TF is busy. And it's also a slow pour system. So a big part of it is conveying that to people is it takes more than 30 seconds to pour a beer. For us, because we want it to have good head, right? We spun all our beer, so it's naturally carbonated, and the head is, you know, easily retentive. And we want to show that off because we do it the classic German way. Not everybody wants that. And that's it's a bummer. I mean, that's what they're going to get because we have a standard and we want to deliver that. But it's going to take more than 30 seconds to get a beer.
So how do you convey that to an individual who it just wants their... A typical Coors Light drinker that wants that right now in my face, and I want 5 of them.
I mean, I love a Coors Light, dude.
I mean, I'm not going to argue.
If the mountains aren't blue, it's not frosty, you know? But facts! The Silver Bullet delivers. It is an adjunct, so you are going to get more hungover off of it. But...
damn you to hell, sir.
It is what it is, man. I love the Silver Bullet. But you just have to be like, welcome, hello. We do it this way. I mean, the first page on our menu says...
I don't read. I look for ABV, sir.
Slow. Oh, we're role-playing. Okay. Cool. What do you want?
ABV. Highest ABV. That's it. Don't tell me what you're reading.
So that's a red flag. So I immediately won't tell you the highest ABV. I will tell you the third highest ABV, which is kind of my standard. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, man, the Furta. It's great. 8.2%, 16 ounces, gets the job done. You can have a couple. Yeah, when people ask for the highest ABV, generally don't point them at the highest ABV.
Good for you.
Because.
Good call, by the way.
The way that Utah runs our rules, the dram shop law. If you as a customer get drunk and go crash your car and you hurt someone, that's you my job.
Are now liable
as a bartender. That's my job.
Yeah.
So I have to throttle you. And my bar is in downtown Salt Lake City, where there are Ubers and Lyfts everywhere, or the train, or scooters, like. I will throttle you, and if you tell me you're not driving, I will maybe be a little bit more lenient. But at the end of the day, this is how I'm paying rent, man. This is how I'm paying my car payment. Like, I need to protect myself, and also, like, maybe don't go to a brewery to get blackout drunk.
Yeah, go somewhere else.
I mean, I'd love to have home. I'd love to have you. I'd love to buy party a bottle with and go you. Home. Sure. But like, time and a place, man. Like. You want to come in, have a couple of beers, have a good time. Let's chat. I'll talk to you about beer. But like, if you just want to rip like 5 shots and get hammered off a 12% stout, yeah, maybe not your vibe.
Yeah, because I feel like any brewery or should be a vibe and a place where a place where you can, you know, hang out and do your thing. Right. That's the thing is, people that don't see it as a vibe or don't see it as a good time. You know, it's they're coming to get blacked out.
Yeah.
That's not for you.
They'll it's not here. An experience, right?
Yeah.
That's a very short journey. If you're just trying to get ripped, it's a very short journey.
You got and other demons you got to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, we have all drank way too much, and we've all felt the consequences of it. But it's a time and a place to get blackout, and it's generally not where someone else can be held accountable.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I like, because you're also looking out for the beer makers, and as a beer maker, you're trying to showcase what you call, you know, the group of the crew who's making your beverages at TF. You want to showcase what their hard work that they're envisioning, right? And that's the cool thing about what you guys do is they're working their asses off to fine tune these crafts, and you're trying to like showcase them.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And I applaud that, Spence. You and the whole team.
We have a great set of boys or a great set of brewers that we have had female brewers in the back. I feel so bad about like this. I keep saying the boys because that's what we say, but we've had females in the back. But they work so hard, and they work crazy times of the day. We do double batches almost every day. So you got Jacob Corey or you have Sam Sis showing up at 6 a.m., if not earlier. Sometimes it's 5, sometimes it's 4:30. And they're going to make a beer, and they're going to sweat. They're going to pick up pounds of malt to do it. They're going to be crunching numbers. It's brewing is a hard process. I'm not smart enough to do it. And they work really hard to bring award-winning beer to people to sit and enjoy. And I want people to sit and enjoy it, and I want them to understand that, like, hey, this thing about this beer is special. Or, hey, this thing about this beer is, like, hard to come by.
I love that because you guys do create. And I remember asking Kevin this, like, what makes the TF, like, what? Why family? He goes, because we're all part of the family.
Oh, for sure.
And I love how you guys all, like, I go walk in there and you all know each other. You all act like you're the bestest of friends. And I feel like everyone should inherit that. Everyone should be doing what you guys are doing because everywhere will feel like home.
Yeah.
I've never once walked into TF and been like, yeah, fuck this vibe, I'm out of here.
I would hope
not once though.
I would hope not.
Not I'm not trying to kiss your ass because you're right here, but sincerely, like, I'm not. You know, and you make even the newest individuals, doesn't matter who you're from or who you are, doesn't matter where you are in the brewing industry or distilling industry, or doesn't matter. You can be the mayor, you could be the janitor, you could be anyone out of town. You guys make everyone feel like they're important and valued in that moment. And I respect you guys for doing that.
Everybody's
so thank you.
Everybody's coming in for a beer to relax. Like you don't go to a brewery to be stressed out.
Nah.
Right? You go there to chill out. No, yeah. You shouldn't. But you're going there to relax. So like it's my job as a bartender to stress about all the little things. Right? You know, maybe this is pouring weird or blah, 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 blah. You as a customer, show. Come have a beer.
Okay?
Have a pretzel.
So here's one thing that stresses me out about TF. Ready for this? One thing.
Go for it.
You stress me out, Spence, when it comes to the Steinhold. Hey, let's talk about the Steinhold real quick. Because the first time you judged me on the Steinhold, you are a stickler on the Steinholding, but you're damn good at judging it. But
it takes like 3 assistants at this point. It's,
oh, my
It's goodness. So much bigger than it used to be.
So but, every year you guys throw an Oktoberfest festival. You guys throw a big whole party. You have like 1,700 beers that are coming out just for that event. It's a great, it's huge. I love it.
Lagers, dude.
The only thing I want is I want you guys to get a drip IV, people. Let's get an IV unit going on because
we needs might to have to.
And I need to beat Mikey Rydell at the Steinhold or else I won't quit until I do.
He holds a camera all day every day.
I know that fucker. Damn it. But I love how you're like one of the OG like judges, my man.
I remember the first Oktoberfest and being in put in charge of it, and I was like, "Oh man, this is." I was a little bit more of a stickler back then than I am now, but I love the Steinholding competition, and it's also so I get in so much trouble for the Steinholding because people get so upset that they lose because at the end of it, I mean, it's 5 pounds, 5.2 or something.
Oh, it weighs on you. No pun intended. It weighs, it goes.
So it's a lot, and it's people compensate. And The Stein Only Composition. It
that's the first time I loved and hated you at the same time. I'm like, who is this fucker telling me how to hold a fucking beer? I make this, and you're telling me how to hold it? Fuck you. And
were you bending your elbow? Or were you bending your back?
No, that's what happened, the big one. No, what happened was I stood, I put my foot, I wasn't forward. Standing, yeah, so I yeah. was not
it's the right so posture. Big now that we're going to have to probably, this next year, I'm going to probably have to do more, like, more of them, because there's too many people around the table that all the proper form is kind of going to shit.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's a 90 degree arm out, holding a stein of beer, 90 degrees up, 90 degrees out from your chest. But the problem is there's so many people that now you start, like, the arm starts to go out go away from the your chest, body. And yeah. then it's easier to bend an elbow.
It's tough, dude.
You're good at that. It's hard work. Yeah, it's hard work.
You guys, I don't know how you guys put it on as a whole crew, because I feel like, I don't know, I'd get lost in that. I'd get lost.
Oktoberfest is late September every year for TF, and we start planning probably next week.
And when you want, I say
they're already planning the beers.
I'm voting right now that my boys at Drip IV Utah, we need to get a Drip IV place out there, because
I don't know if that's what we need, because
you need an IV place.
Oh man.
After, hey, here's a coupon.
Yeah.
TF 10% off.
2023, from what we've discussed, it will be only bigger and better.
So. Man, and I love that. You might have to, at this point, find a different facility to hold it, because it's getting bigger and better.
I mean, our facility continually grows. We now, when we first opened, we didn't have the back building for storage. Right. So our patio was only half the size. And we acquired that space the week before COVID shutdown happened. So it was a chunk of change, and it was a huge gamble, and it paid out, because Salt Lake County allowed us to have outdoor seating when you couldn't have indoor seating. So we had a bunch of new outdoor placements for people. And then our dispensing ramped up. So then we needed that extra storage building. So it was well timed accidentally.
I love that. I love that so much for you guys. What's one of your favorite brews that ever came out of TF?
Ever?
Ever.
My favorite beer is the Schwartz beer with cherry that is sitting on this table.
That but is literally your favorite one?
That we've had from TF ever. Yeah, favorite.
Wow.
I had a.
It's a bold statement.
The fact that it's sitting on this table is huge.
That's what I'm saying.
Because like, it's the last one that exists.
We're not opening this.
Yeah, we are.
No chance.
Absolutely.
Then open it for us. Let's do this.
I love a Schwartz beer.
Why?
I think we discussed this off mic, but I love a lagered beer that is full of flavor, but not heavy. So I do love Schwartz beers. And this one even more so. It's a little bit stronger. You know, the alcohol doesn't hurt. But the cherry flavoring, the barrel aged, it just a lot of love went into this beer. And this is a gift beer. So there's a handful. Me and Ryan Gregerson, we acquired the last kind of handful. And we've been giving them out as birthday gifts.
That's beautiful.
And if you know anything about TF, like, this beer is
just
creme de creme. So yeah, I love this thing. We're pouring our guests first, though.
You are my guest, so pour yours first.
Oh, No. You're my guest into this experience.
I've never had this beer. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I hope you like Schwartz beers.
I hate all beer, Spencer.
I'm only here for the interviews. I can't stand the beers, is what David says. No, I love this beer so much. So I'm glad that I get to share it with
you. It's just like Dark Knight right there. Woo.
There's a lot going on in there.
I can smell that from here. You're probably like, the beer's probably 3 feet away from me, and I can smell that.
Oh, yeah. Easy. A lot going on in there.
How old is this beer?
2 years? 3 years? Let's see if we got a stamp on it. We might not have a stamp on it. This would be fall 2021. So, yeah.
Damn.
2 years.
Wow.
1.5 years.
Well, prost, my friend.
Salut.
Thank you for sharing this. I appreciate that.
Ooh. Crazy. It's the flavors are nuts. My favorite candy is also chocolate covered raisins, which goes into a lot of what this beer is. I'll continue talking while you cry over this beer.
I'm not crying. Damn.
You're probably not hydrated enough to cry.
I'll tell you what is my favorite kind of beer is one that invokes memory.
Oh,
I'm absolutely getting memories that I haven't had for a long time. Like I might cry, like legitimately. Like
There's a lot of candied flavors that go into this because it's 8%, so it's a little bit sweeter. It's that the cherries, the High West whiskey barrels that we aged it in, the chocolate malt just brings back like chocolate covered raisins and Werther's and just those like little this. It doesn't have strawberries in it, but you remember those like the wrapper candy that was strawberry.
It looked like a strawberry.
It looked like a strawberry. Yes. You get kind of that because it's like it's a little bit thicker, but it has just it's gushy.
I like that word, gushy.
Gushy.
So this is what it speaks to me.
Tell me.
And one of my heroes growing up was my grandfather, the man who basically helped raise. Besides my mother, and was the man who raised me. Right. He symbolized on my chest like he's my OG. This is a beer that I would love to give to him because this reminds me of candies with grandpa.
Yeah.
Childhood candies.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just, he lived in Germany for a while, and he likes those dark German stuff, like German bratwurst, like fruit, foods, candies, you name it. And this just has that. It envelops that memory for me. It's like, oh my God. Fuck you guys for making that. That's the beauty of being a brewer is where
I didn't make it.
You're a liquid chef where you can make something that just tastes and envelops such character where it's like, good God, because that's my goal, man. As a beer maker, I just want to do something like this where someone drinks it and they're like, holy fuck, hell yeah. Maybe I have. I have no idea. But Spans, thank you for sharing this, man. This is beautiful. Of course. This is wonderful.
I love sharing. This is right?
Yeah, you're like the remember the strawberry cream candies?
Yeah.
It's like one of those too. Yeah. But it's dark.
Yeah.
But I don't get a lot of roast character. I don't get a lot of
No, it's you don't get that chocolate, you don't get that roast. There's almost no coffee profile. No, this is killer. This is I think maybe outside of the our Imperial Mango Ghost, I think this is probably Jasmine Wells' favorite beer as well.
Man, I get a little char at the end, mm-hmm. probably from the barrel. But I don't get any of that like remember that Pilsner I gave you?
Yeah.
There's hella way more roast on that beer compared to this beer.
Yeah.
Wow. That's beautiful. Thank you, Spence. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I'm your guest. Let me bring you a treat.
I appreciate that. As a beer tender or a bartender, you need to have some skills. But I feel like, and this might be biased for me in my point of view, as a TF beer tender or bartender, or being a part of the TF family, specifically in-house TF. Because I know, according to the Britt and Kevin, I'm part of the TF family as well. That's,
you are.
And I'm honored. That's beautiful. Yeah. However, I'm not in-house. You guys, every single time I walk into my wife and I walk into those doors, make us feel like we are the kings and queens that walk into those doors, right? What does it take to be a beer tender, a bartender, or part of that family that you guys hold so dear at TF?
A big part of it is, sounds so silly, but like common sense. Yeah. And I had a whole conversation about this with someone the other day, but you need to be able to read a situation, right? You need to know when somebody wants more attention and when they don't. You need to be able to hustle when people need more attention. But a big part of it is you just need to know about the beer that you're serving. Like I said, the brewers at TF spend a lot of time. We have quite a few these days, or at least people in the back house. And you need to know that the beer means a lot to them. You need to convey that to people. The beer means a lot to everybody involved. Kevin Templin has a image in his mind of what he wants a beer to be. And he has a lot of great people working in the brew house that make that come true. And a huge part is cleanliness. A huge part is hard work. And but as the front of house, as the bartender, as the beer tender, you need to be able to convey that, but you need to be able to convey that to 100 people a day. And have it not be exhausting. And when you know someone cares as much as your brewers, it's not exhausting because yeah. It means a lot to them. I mean, Kevin, you know, Kevin works his ass off. He's been working it off for years to create an environment that you can drink something that he wants to put his name on. And then you have, you know, Jacob Corey and Sam Sisk and Michael Utzinger and Greg Schoenwolf and Emmett Templin all working in the back of house to create this beautiful, clean experience that they want to enjoy. At the end of the day, they're going to sit at the bar and have a beer and they want to be able to enjoy it. What did they just, you know, bust their back scrubbing floors for, or throwing malt in, or, you know, frying their brain, crunching numbers? They worked hard for that, and I appreciate that, and I want to showcase that. And when people come in and they've been like, we've been recommended by you, by someone else, you want them not to leave disappointed. You want them to be like, oh, shit, there's a reason someone said come to TF Brewing. And you want to, you can, you know, I'm conveying all these, like, gratuities, but you also want it to be easy. You want people to come in and you can explain a beer to them without it going over their
head. You guys have a flow with it.
Yeah.
I really do believe that. Yeah. I believe from start to finish you guys do that. Now, I haven't been at TF when it's towards the end of close, when you guys are frazzled, probably towards the end of your shift.
Never frazzled.
No, okay.
I'm just kidding.
But I've never seen that. You might be right. I've never been there. I'd like to, just to see when the chips are down and it's a madhouse. I've never been there when it's been a madhouse, except for Oktoberfest. I've never been there when it's been a madhouse. But I'd like to see when all cylinders have been fired and are done being fired, what it looks like. And I feel like you guys still, because clearly you guys still have quality and you hold true to that, right? It's a passion. Outside of TF, what other brewery do you see holds a similar pattern that you guys have, a standard, if you will?
I see a lot of it in different places. I mean, I don't, because I'm not back house, it's hard for me to hold other breweries to the same standard. I think of them as bars. But when I go to Grid City, I have, you know, what staff people I know hop up, and come and hug me and say hello. Fisher, I know all the owners. I know their manager pretty well. They show up and they make room for you at the bar and they want to chat with you. I don't go a whole lot of other places. I mean, Desert Edge, I see it a lot. I used to live right next to there and we'd go there for lunch a lot, and they keep a clean place and they want to talk. The people from Red Rock, I talk to pretty often. I mean, I could talk a positive thing about every place.
Yeah.
Right?
Hell yeah.
Kevin Templin has a very unique standard. And when you work there, you meet that standard. And it's not just Kevin. It's also Britt Templin. And I also hold a standard.
Oh, she's the boss. And I fucking know.
She's the boss. She's the real boss.
I know. I fucking know. We all know.
Kevin will kick my ass for saying that. But.
No, he won't. He knows.
Britt is the boss.
I love Britt. She's a sweetheart, by the way. Oh my
she's,
God.
I mean, no, there's...
The Templins have set a standard in the industry in their own accord without setting
sure.
it. But and you guys
sure.
live that. I see that.
And I see that. And Kevin Templin holds a standard. I mean, how many percentiles is cleaning of brewing? It's, you know, 50 at least.
No,
right?
It's like 90%. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Cleaning. That's all I do is clean. Yeah. Look at these floors, son. I've been scrubbing this.
This is beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, you did a great job.
Thank you.
It is 90%, but I didn't want to seem like I was exaggerating.
It's like 95, but I was going to correct you.
I don't want to exaggerate. But and you see that. I mean, we close a couple days a year to clean the whole tap room.
As you should.
So it's clean, because how shitty would it be if you had a bar that was dirty, but the brewers spent all day cleaning?
As a brewer on that side, it would break my heart.
Right.
But at that point, I'd call it a dive. And a dive is not necessarily somewhere that I want to be to enjoy a class act.
I think in the level brew I'm talking about is a gastropub or something where it could be cleaner.
That'd break my heart.
But the people don't care to, right? You're spending all day sanitizing and cleaning and making sure that stuff isn't contaminated. And then it hits some taps that haven't been cleaned in. Yeah.
The last 5-10 minutes of a beer's life is put in some shitty, disgusting tap.
So we don't want that.
Yeah, I see
that. Yeah, we don't want that. Yeah. So, yeah, we stay on it. I mean, we hand wash so much of our glassware, and we hand polish every single glass. Every single glass.
Yeah,
even water glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a standard. You got to keep it clean.
What more do you have to offer to TF Brewing?
I was just having this conversation with Kevin and Brett. A lot. I think I am very valued there. I think I am. It's a hard answer. Because I do spend a lot of time there, but I could also learn more. I could learn more. I try to do one brew a year. I could probably do more.
Ah. Which I was going to segue to, like, have you ever wanted to brew, but you've done it or shadowed?
I've shadowed.
Have you tried you want to be on the deck ever, or do you want to be?
Oh, I'd love to
cellaring or cold
side. I'd love
side?
To be on the deck.
Packaging.
I'd be love to know how to cellar. Throw me at clean kegs.
What stops you?
Time. I mean, I'm at TF at least 40 hours a week.
So you should make some time to do all that stuff.
I should make some time to do that.
You should.
No, I next week should be brewing a batch of Keller with the boys.
I would love
it comes
to be
down
there for
to
that.
Their time
I'll show,
frame.
I'm just gonna show up for that.
It comes down to their time frame. I tried to do it once a year. I did not do last year. But it was just
good
my birthday,
you.
And I try and brew a beer around my birthday every year. So I assist, you know. I assist. I don't brew it, you know. But
you're part of the team.
I'll show in some boots. But I would like to be more involved in the back of house. And that doesn't necessarily stepping on their toes, right?
Sure.
That means, you know, they tell me to pick up this, I pick up that. Because I do think that the open house setting that TF has, I think that should be more than just the building. It should be the people, too. So I do put the brewers, I make them bus from time to time. They love to help out where they can. They all have their sips and tips.
We're all part of the team, man.
Yeah.
That's what I like about, you know, watching good leaderships. Leaders also are the best followers. I want to follow those guys. They're in the trenches as well, right?
I mean.
I see that at your guys' place. I see that, you know, that's what I try to do here, Derek and I and Julia. We try to sit down and I see Jason Stock do that all the time. You know, we're always trying to bust ass. I see Matt over at Desert Edge do that. I see the Fisher boys always busting glasses, like all of it, like all the time.
Yeah.
And that's the best. And, you know, they give a fuck about their space. Everyone does. Those individuals who are leading and brewing and giving a fuck wherever they are, moving beer, selling beer, whatever it is, and they're in the back of the house cleaning shit that no one knows about. Yeah, I want to sit in that place.
We have a... The Templin kids. So Emmett Templin, nephew of Kevin, he just turned 21.
Right.
And he buses 3 nights a week. And he works back a house and he's crushing it. And Porter Templin will be turning 21. It's Kevin's kid. He'll be turning 21 in 2 weeks.
Oh,
and
shit.
He'll be same thing, bussing and helping out. It's Templin family for real. like the yeah. kids are coming in. And Kevin himself, I mean, you got a windy day outside or the snow just mm-hmm. melted, you see him picking trash out of the parking lot.
Yeah. In his own Oktoberfest, his own big ass party. I see that man mopping floors, cleaning shit out of toilets, literally yeah,
for sure.
like all the time. And
for sure.
Again, going back to what I was saying, I want to go to that place and enjoy a beverage. Enjoy that atmosphere because the leaders are putting their asses and working hard. Now they're sitting there and getting fucked up and drinking with everyone, but they're working hard in front of like all the time.
It's
they're always go, go, go.
It's in my mind, it has always been a red flag when a company calls its employees family. And at Templin Family, we do that. And it is could be further from like my concerns.
Interesting.
Because it is, you know, at the end of the day, we have an office building just down the street. And you see the gals come over. You have Jamie, our event coordinator. You have Brittany Watts, our merchandising. And she's a lot of things. But she's essentially our administrator. And then you have Britt Templin. They come wandering over, and you know it's a time to pour three Hellises. Kevin's going to get the boys together. They're going to sit down and have a beer. And then it's just like for about an hour after this shift change, it's a family hanging out. Like, it's actually a family hanging out and having a beer. I
love that.
Having a beer. And they've all, you know, worked their ass off. There is no chore around the brewery that no one of any level is unwilling to do. You got a clogged toilet? Cool. My hands are full. Shit, Kevin's already on it, you know? There's that kind of stuff. It's a very great environment. You know, Jamie helps bartend, so does Britt. Kevin Britt will be bussing glasses.
Yeah.
I mean, weird Utah laws don't want you to have a beer before you bus glassware. So once they're sitting and have a beer, they won't. But
sure,
they'll be like, hey, can you go like clean this table off? We got for sure, whatever. Got to do what we got to do.
But that's the thing is, it's a team effort. It's a family effort, if you will. Yeah. So, Spence, what else do you need to do to what else is like what goals do you have, aspirations do you have as you, Spencer, as the person?
Me as the person?
Yeah. Take TF out of it. Or maybe TF is where you want to be, but what do you want to do to aspire? What do you got?
Loud. I want to open my own bar.
I love that.
Yeah.
In Utah? Or are we going somewhere else? What's going on?
I mean,
in Panguitch, Utah?
Yeah, probably. But no, I want to throw a couple pool tables and some local craft beer on draft and just somewhere quiet. Have a DJ, you know, come spin
a fresh. Quiet, but then have a DJ.
Nah, but quiet, like jazz, like a quiet spot where on the weekends you can have craft beer and play pool and you have up and new coming DJs come spin on the weekend, you know, vinyl show off their record they found in Livingston, Montana or something, you know,
right.
Just a quiet spot, small, easy beers and shots.
I love that.
Very, very Spencer.
You've been in the Utah beer community for quite some time. What is Utah beer community missing in your opinion?
Imperial Red Lagers. It's a huge joke between me and the Brewers, but I don't think it is missing much. I think what we were talking kind of when we started is a distribution. You don't see Utah brewing, and especially Salt Lake, is all very similar in structure to how other large cities have a craft beer community, but in other craft brewery communities in big cities, I see shared assets like a canning commune. There's a couple I know in like Portland and Chicago, and it would allow for breweries that don't own a canning line to be able to can and distribute and raise their name and, you know, make sales. I would love to see that, like a craft brewery like commune almost.
I love that. I love that a lot. I've never heard that.
Or like someplace they can all meet and have a beer. I mean,
yeah.
Because all of the schedules are so different. Craft brewers don't get to meet as much.
Yeah.
Except when you're at a guild meeting and everyone's heated about whatever the fucking topic is that week.
Or, right.
I'd love to see that. I'd love to see something that would help the little guys rise up and something that would be able to have the big guys assist.
I love that a lot. That's awesome, Spence. One of my feared last questions for you. As front of house, what can I do to help you guys, as front of house individuals throughout the community, be heard more?
Are you speaking as David the customer, or are you talking about David the brewer?
Oh, shit. David the tastemaster.
Oh, David the tastemaster. enjoy yourself. You know, that's what I want.
As the brewer, then.
Enjoy yourself. Make what you want to make. So make what you want to make, but communicate what you are making to me.
Okay.
Because if you say it's a lager with this malt and this hop and this and this and this yeast, what?
Yeah, so talk to me. How would you like to be heard?
This is why I made this beer. It reminds me of this. And I want people to see this part of it while they enjoy it.
Mm. So I have almost that story behind it. Why did I make this? Why did you make this beer?
Why did you make this beer?
Tell me why. Yeah.
Why'd you make this beer? Oh, it's to help, you know, this fund, or I wanted to use this hop, or blah, blah, blah. Tell me that. And because it's easier to sell that
way. It resonates with you more, and you want to push that
better. Well, and if you have big craft beer drinkers coming to the bar and they go, oh, tell me about this beer, I'll tell you exactly. Mm. I mean, it's named after this person. A lot of the beers at TF are named after Templin family members. And I'll be like, oh, it's named after owner, you know, blah, blah, blah. We had a Berliner Weiss called the Angie, and we jokingly called it the Angie from the old song. I can't remember what band it is, but it was named after Britt Templin. And it's easier to say that. Oh, it's named after this. Or, you know, there's many things. A lot of breweries have, you know, catchy or silly names, and that's great, and it catches people, but also you'd be like, well, this is also, it should have depth. Depth is what I'm saying.
I love that.
Something to tell people while they sit and have a beer.
It's not just a beer. The mountains are blue.
Yeah, the mountains are blue. It'll get you drunk. It should have something else to it because, you know, It was a long time to make it. Sometimes it's 5 days. Sometimes it's, you know, 2 months. Sometimes it's 2 years. It takes a long time to make a beer. And if people are coming in, I want to know why you made it that way.
Yeah. As a guardian of the beer, if you will, front of house.
Beer guardian.
What's one of the best questions that someone can come up to you and ask? Hey, Spence. Boom. You're like, I love that question.
I'm guarding the beer, huh? The best thing, I mean, what I said is they want depth. That's a tricky one. A lot of the time I get hit with, what's your favorite?
Right.
And I immediately go, well, what do you want?
Throw it back at them?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to drink a killer beer every day, dude. I probably have one killer beer every day, at least. But what do you guys do well here? Or what is your flagship? Because, I mean, hazy pale ales, nothing against them. They sell, right? They sell. TF makes a killer Rauch beer. And I'll explain that to people. And most people don't want a sweetened smoky beer.
Yeah, fuck smoky beer. Smoky beers are bleh.
No, smoking beers are amazing.
That's all I get.
Smoking beers are great. But you have to, when you explain it to them, because to them, if you are not an educated beer drinker, they think you just drop liquid smoke in it. It doesn't, you have to be like, you have to explain how it's not just liquid smoke in it, how that grain has actually been taking the time to be slowly smoked over cherry or beech wood or whatever. So you have to explain that. So it's, what do you do well here? Well, we do lagers, you know, or, you know, right now we're focusing on a hazy pale ale, but yeah, we focus on lagers. We do a variety of them. It takes a long time to make them. This one's smoked. This one is chocolate malt. This one is blah, blah, blah. You know, I like it when people say, what do you do well?
I love that. Spence, I want to say thank you for taking the opportunity to sit down with me and to say yes to sit down with me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for putting up with me running late.
You weren't running late, man. You keep saying that. You weren't.
Rush hour these days. Thank you for having me. I'm not as much in the, I don't know. I was a little intimidated.
Why?
Because I'm not the back of house guy. You mostly do the back of house guy. You know?
So why would I go in front of house guy and go to you for one of my few and far in between front of house people?
Because I couldn't stop bothering you.
No, because you're dashingly handsome. That's why.
Shut up.
The dashing handsomeness is right. No, but the thing about that is what Kevin and Britt tried to invoke into you or into instill into you individuals is you guys are a family, what I like to call, is because you're just as important as the brewers, as the owners, as the cellarmen, as the window washers, as the janitors. It doesn't matter. You guys do the same fucking thing. You're just as important, Spence. And so
you just listed almost all of my duties.
Exactly.
I washed
the
windows.
The fact that you're sitting here is because you're just as important as the rest of them.
Oh, we're all important. I mean, it's a family. It's a group.
So thank you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for
back
spending
front of house.
Some of your time, your early morning to sit here and hang out, man. And like truly, so much thanks to sharing this beverage. Like this is really cool.
Oh, absolutely.
Ash Wars beer.
Beers for sharing.
Man, it knocked. So thank you so much for doing that and trusting in me and loving me, man. Every time since I've known you, every time I see you or every time we hang out or we go grab a pint or two, thank you. Thank you for supporting. Thanks for everything and the friendship and the love, man. Thank you.
Well, thank you, David.
So this is my aha. This is a Spence episode because this is my love for Spence, man. So those. How can people get to know Spence better? How can we reach you? How can we go to you? What do we do? Visit you when do you work at the TF? Clearly you got to have
6 days a week.
Anytime you want to see Spence, but how can someone introduce themselves to you to want to get you know you better?
My phone number is
8675309.
Coming at TF, have a beer with me. Reach out to me on Instagram at the official Trashmaster.
Are you making a stab at Tastemaster?
No, Trashmaster. I've had that Instagram for a long time. I used to have a blue star. I don't know where it went.
Oh, you didn't pay for it, homie.
Probably,
fucked up.
That's probably it. come in, have a beer. If you come in around shift change, which is around 5, I'll probably be able to have a beer with you after.
I love that.
Add me on Instagram. We can talk. We can chat. I don't know. I don't feel like some kind of influencer or anything. So that's the
thing about it is, don't see yourself as an influencer.
I just want you to come have a beer with me, badass individual,
because that's how I see you.
Come have a beer with
you,
me.
I love the fuck out of you, man. So thank you.
Yeah, I love you, man. David. Thank you so much.
That. Is there anything I can do before we leave today? Is there anything I can do as a friend, as a brewer, as Tastemasters to help you, Spence?
No.
That's it. That's done. We're wrapped up.
I want you to continue to do what you do down here in Utah Valley, and I want you to like help spread good beer to the masses.
I'm gonna make a Diet Coke beer here soon. Watch me, Diet Coke beer. It's gonna sell like hotcake.
It probably would. This is an NA Diet Coke beer.
Oh, could you imagine? Oh, that's a good idea.
So it's Diet Coke. but I fermented something and then stripped out
and
the
took
alcohol.
It out. But since, again, thank you so much. Anything else you have for us tonight?
No.
Shout out Beth. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, shout out to Beth and Dan.
For listening.
drive safe.
Drive safe.
Don't drink and drive. Don't drink and drive.
No, I don't respect that. No. All right, Spence. On that note, my friend, until the next beverage. Salute. Cheers. Been another episode of the Tastemasters. Find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, Twitter at @the_Tastemasters, or on Facebook as the Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, DM us for any questions, or leave a review. Tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_audio.